Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Good. Okay. So glad to be here with you this evening. I was with the first service, and now I'm with the last service. It's wonderful. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your great grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord God, you love us so much that you gave us the Word of God so that through the Word, the Bible, we could be given instruction on how to live and how to follow you. Lord, how to spread the gospel throughout the world. We thank you, Lord Jesus, it's your grand desire to add more and more and more people to your family. That, Lord, you're so awesome. Father, we thank you that tonight you're also the God of miracles. That, Lord, you can bring forth healing and freedom and miracles in Jesus' name. And we believe you for your signs and wonders in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, I would like to share with you a very wonderful topic. It deals in the scriptures we just spoke to you about or read for you. Delight yourself in the Word. Do you delight yourself in the Word? Or do you feel like you have to read the Bible because, after all, we're Christians and that's our book, we need to read the book. But I find that as I read the Bible, I am encouraged, I'm blessed. I might not understand everything about the Scriptures, therefore I have to do more study on the Scriptures. But I find that as I'm led by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit, who is our guide, who is our helper, Jesus said in John 14:12, the things that I do, you shall do, and greater things than these shall you do, because I go to the Father, and I will send to you a helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the disciples knew because they'd already yielded to the Holy Spirit. Jesus had placed the Holy Spirit upon the disciples. They went about preaching and teaching just like Jesus did. And they also prayed just like Jesus did. And they received many of the same results. Healing, deliverance, freedom, opening of the blind eyes, opening of the deaf ears. So many miracles took place through the disciples of Jesus because Jesus gave them authority to use his name and they were moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the Sundays we celebrate is the Sunday of Pentecost. Why? Because that is a celebration of when God sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus asked the Father, would you please send to my people and to the world the Holy Spirit? The prophet Joel said in Joel 2:28, in the last day I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men will dream dreams. And in that day, I will pour out my Spirit upon your men servants and maid servants. In the New Testament, as we begin to believe in Jesus and accept his work on the cross, the sacrifice he gave to us by dying for us, and all of our sins were placed on Jesus, we are forgiven if we receive the sacrifice. And then, as we go on, we find that Jesus did exactly what he told his disciples he would do. He would ask the Father, and he would send the Helper, the Paracletus, the one that comes along beside us and helps us. For all those who seek and ask for the Holy Spirit, they can receive. As we have received, then we move in the power of his might, not just the power of our own personhood or whoever we are, our personality, but we move in the power of Jesus' might. I want to ask you the question again. Do you delight yourself in the Word of God? When I was studying years ago, I was about to speak in a city, in a university campus, and I was just going over Psalm 119, and the Lord asked me, he said, Rusty, do you really do it? I said, do what? He said, do you delight yourself? Oh, how happy he has made me. Oh, how happy he has made me. I'm both happy and delightful that I can read the Word. Because I find in the Word there's hope. I find in the Word there's direction. I find in the Word there's peace. I find in the Word there's conviction. Psalm 119, verse 38. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible. It says, establish thy word and confirm it to thy servant, that I might live and keep your word. There's two parts that I have found very wonderful about studying the Word, reading the Word of God, is that He desires to establish us in the Word. That word establishment means to make firm, to cause something to remain solid or standard or straight. And God desires for us to have a good foundation in the Bible. Some people have said, well, Rusty, I don't know that I can really trust in God. I don't see God. I don't feel Him. I can't know that He's really real. Although thousands upon hundreds of thousands, millions of people throughout the years have believed in Jesus. And some people just say, well, I just find it very hard to do that. Can I show you tonight that you already do that? You already believe in somebody you don't see. Not only do you believe in somebody you don't see, you trust them. And you trust them with your life. I need you to do something for me. Would everybody please stand up? I want to give you an example. I need you to stand up all through the hall here. And now I want you to do something very, very, very easy. Are you ready? I want you to jump up and down twice. Come on. Jump up. There you go. Jump up and down. Oh, wait. Did you feel it? Did the church move? No. Nothing moved, right? No. Okay, we're safe. Okay, good. Sit down. You see, we're trusting in an architect who hundreds of years built and put this church together. Then out of engineers and construction workers who built this church. And here we sit every Sunday, and we're not afraid. Oh, is the rafter going to come down today? Is this when it ends? No. We trust that these things were made properly. Did I break something? No. Jumped up in that. Anyway, so the key is this. You can trust in the Word of God. Turn to your friend and say, you can trust. Tell them, you can trust in the Word of God. God is a trustworthy God. I choose to follow Him. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 through 9, this is when God called Jeremiah to not just follow Him, but be His prophet. Jeremiah was a little boy. And God came in audible format and spoke to him. And where it's written, it says, Before I found you, formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, set you apart, and I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Then Jeremiah said, Ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak for you. I am but a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I'm a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord did something special for Jeremiah. He took his hand and touched his mouth and said, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See this day, I set you over nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, and to build up and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and said, What do you see? Now, can you imagine this? You're a kid. You're talking audibly to God. God's talking to you. I mean, that's awesome enough in itself. But then he says, I've called you to be my mouthpiece, to speak for me. Thank you. And he then says, what do you see? So Jeremiah doesn't want to mess up on the very first time, you know. Okay, what do I see? And he looks, and he says, Well, okay, here's what I see. I see an almond branch blossoming. How'd I do? And God said, Wow, you've seen well. I'm watching over my word to perform it. You know, I'm sure Jeremiah, like myself, would say, Excuse me, what does that mean? Now, you have to have a little history in Israel. The almond tree is the first tree that blossoms and gives forth fruit. So God is saying, in reference to that almond tree, he said, I am going to bring my word to pass as quickly as possible. Sometimes we think it's taking forever for God to help us, or it's taking forever for God to answer our question. But God says, I am ready. Are you ready to receive? No. Are you ready to receive? I need a little crowd response, okay? Are you ready to receive? I'm ready to receive too, because I believe God has some very awesome things to do in our life. That word ready means watchful, waking, to be sleepless, hastening, anticipation, alert, vigilant. To be on the lookout, to care for watchfully. So we see that in when God used this example, he said, I'm ready. At any moment, I could bring my word to pass. You know what I want to do? Is I want to keep worshiping God. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, with supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to the Father. And then the Father will give you peace for your heart and peace for your mind. Maybe he doesn't answer immediately, but he does give you peace. Turn to someone and say, do you have the peace? Do you have the peace? Do you have the peace? Do you, brother? You have the peace? Hallelujah. We can at least have the peace, but if we keep our anxious thoughts, if we keep all of this bottled up within us, we can't have peace. This is the trust relationship we have with God. I will give to him the worries of my life, my anxieties, and all the things that frustrate me. Oh, God, here's me. Here's this stuff. And God says, good. I'm so glad you finally gave it to me. Now here, take my peace. And then the very next verse in Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, lovely, pure, worthy of praise, full of virtue, think and meditate on these things. How many times have you given your anxiety to God, received the peace, and then before you left the presence of God, you picked up your anxious thoughts again? We've got to leave them at the cross. We've got to give them to Jesus. And when we do, we can have an expectation that God is ready and desiring to bring clearer answers and bring about a change in our life. God wants his word established in our hearts and lives. You know, I'm able to gauge sometimes people's faith. I can gauge what they believe in. I can gauge what they're thinking even. And you know how I do that? I listen to what they say. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart, out of the abundance of your heart, your, what's this? It's your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth will speak. So we can gauge our faith level by what we say. We can gauge our belief level by what we say. How much of the Word of God do you believe? How much? You don't have to memorize the whole thing. You just need to have scriptures in your heart. I have written several books. One of them is called The Journey of Miracles, We Can Be Healed. The Lord has used me extensively to pray for thousands of people. My rate of success is not Jesus' rate yet. He had 100%. I still have, I got at least about 60, 70% of people I pray for, they receive a healing, a miracle, something happens. You know, at the end of the service, we'll be praying for some people. At the end of a 7 o'clock service this morning, my wife and I were in the adjacent room and we began to pray for people who were sick. Some came because we gave a word of knowledge of these are the specific sicknesses in people. We'll be glad to pray for you. Man came up. He was walking with a cane. And he didn't want to be prayed so much for the leg, but he had a deaf ear. Mildred prayed for him. And his deaf ear came open. A miracle. God set him free. God set a number of people free today when we prayed. Knees were who had been injured were healed. And God did some tremendous miracles. I have this already translated into Russian. I'm in the process of getting it translated into Chinese. And the Chinese translator I saw her in Hong Kong, she has the book halfway translated. She gave us a testimony. She said, Rusty, when I read the amount of the Bible that you have in the book, because you see, it's not just stories of people who've been healed, but it's actual scriptures on how you can place the Word of God in your heart, and then as you're believing, God can bring a healing. Not only a healing for you, but because you have the Word inside and you begin to pray for your friends, they can receive healing as well. She said that one of her friends had a little baby, and the baby had eczema, all over her flesh, all over the body, just broken out in scabs and rashes. The baby was in terrible pain. And she said, I want to pray for you, your baby, and you. But she was praying over the phone. The baby was screaming. She said, please quieten your baby. So she told the baby to be quiet. Hello, that doesn't work too well. So she said, hug your baby. So she picked up her baby and hugged the baby, and immediately the baby was quiet. And she prayed, and she's not a minister, this sister. She's a Christian believer. And she prayed that God would heal the baby's skin. After she prayed, the mother on the other end said, oh my God, oh my baby's skin has changed. It's brand new. It's completely clean. There's nothing, there's no more rashes. The Bible, one of the Bible verses we read today was, these signs shall follow, Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow only the reverends. Only the vicars, only the bishops, only the elders. No, Mark 16 says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer today? Are you a believer in Jesus today? Not sure, okay? We got a prayer for you too. You can come to Christ. But if you're a believer in Jesus, then one of the signs of the believers is that we can pray in the name of Jesus, lay hands on people, and God can use us to set people free. And that's what happened with this young lady in Hong Kong just recently. I found I need the Word. Not because I'm a preacher. Not because I'm a minister or an evangelist. I need the Word because the Word brings life and hope and freedom. Security, if you want to say. And also, as I put the Word in my heart, then wherever I am, because I'm not always preaching in a service, but I'm out in at the MRT. I am taking a taxi or an Uber or Grab or whatever you're taking these days. I travel and I go through the Singapore, and I'm always open to pray for people or share Jesus with them. If they ask, and usually they ask because they're trying to figure out what language I have. If I'm really tired, I have real Southern English, you know. But if I'm not so tired, I can talk Singlish. Come on, eh? Okay. Anyway, Matthew chapter 24, verse 35 says this: Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. John 6:63. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Ezekiel 12:25. I am the Lord. I will speak, and the words that I speak shall come to pass. God's words work. Turn to someone and say, God's words work. God's words will come to pass. So all I need to do, I don't even need to believe the words. Because God said my words will come to pass. But I have found a quicker way to find the words of God to come to pass is if I will begin to read them and believe them. And in my believing, is a confession of them, is speaking them. You know, your bodies believe what you say. Your bodies believe what other people say. Have you ever had this happen to you when you were at work and one of your workmates says, do you feel okay? I mean, you look a bit red or something, or you look a bit peakish, or are you sure you're okay? Oh, yes, of course I'm okay. But the fifth person during your daily work asks you, are you okay? You look sick. Oh, man, yeah, I am. I'm going to go home. I'm sick. I mean, five people told me I'm sick. I must be sick. So you let somebody talk you into it. Your body believed what others said. Your body will believe what you say. That's why I want to replace my words with His words. Because if I put His words in my heart and in my mouth, I can begin to experience what God promised we could have. Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Luke 16, 17, the word of the Lord endures forever. How many of you remember the 35-millimeter camera? It is almost archaic, you know, now, because of the iPhones, Samsungs, Androids, and everybody else who has cameras on their phones. When I had a 35-millimeter camera, I needed a flash attachment to get better pictures. And in that flash attachment were batteries. And the batteries made a funny noise when they were charging up the light. So I would take a picture, click, flash. Whee! Beep, 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 beep. Then you can take another picture. Click, flash. Whee! Beep, 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 beep. So some people feel that if you pray for somebody, be healed in Jesus' name. Whee! Beep, 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 beep. Be healed in Jesus' name. Whee! Beep, 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 beep. Be healed in Jesus' name. Beep, beep, beep. Oh, I'm sorry. Worked a million times, but a million and one. I'm sorry, it just won't work anymore. No, the Word of God endures forever. It never loses its power. That's why 2,017 years later, after the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross, you and I can be saved. Amen? His Word works today as it worked in the past. I need to put the Word in my heart and begin to believe it. Now, God has a confirmation of the Word. Establish thy word and confirm it to your servant. You see, when Jesus gave the command for us to go out and win the lost and baptize them in water, and thus you receive the kingdom of God, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons, speak with new tongues. If they pick up any serpent or drink any deadly poison, it won't hurt them. They will. Say they will. Turn to your friend and say, are you a believer? Come on, turn to somebody next to you and say, are you a believer? Just ask them, are you a believer? Are you a believer? Then you can. Say you can. Turn to someone else and say, I can. You say, you can? I can. You can? I can. Lay hands on the sick and they'll die, right? No. They're supposed to recover. So I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover according to the Scripture. What's the confirmation that it is true? Do you know? It's in verse 20 of that chapter. And the Jesus was ascended into heaven, and the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them, confirming the words with signs and wonders and miracles. The confirmation of their preaching, people got saved. Confirmation of their preaching and praying, they got healed and delivered and set free. I was in a service this morning, second service I did. Young man was partially blind in one eye. Prayed for him in the name of Jesus, and the partially blind eye came open, and he could see clearly. He also gave his heart to Jesus. God desires to cause the Word of God to be alive and strong in us. But Rusty, what if I pray for someone and nothing happens? Well, What if you pray for them and something does happen? So you got a 50-50 chance it's going to work. But I mean, the key is that the more I believe, the more I receive, the more I believe, the more I act on the word, the more I'm going to see God move to do a miracle and a sign and a wonder. Deacon June this morning was hobbling around. She went on a vacation. She walked over too many mountains, too many rough places, I think, and her knees were hurting her. So in the midst of the praise and worship service, I laid hands on her knees and prayed for her. And how does she feel today now? Oh, got a thumbs up over here. Okay. See, God wants us to continue to pray. Now, if you don't want to receive prayer, that's fine. It's okay. But I want you to say this psalm, Psalm 103. You ready? This is time to recite time, okay? You ready? I want you to look right here into your soul. And I want you to say this in from Psalm 103, 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, I want you to call your name out. If I was going to do it, I'd say, Rusty. Don't call my name. You call your name, okay? One, two, three. Say your name. Rusty. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Okay, say this again and mean it. Ready? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Hallelujah. No, you didn't do that right. Hallelujah. It's okay. We're in the charismatic service. You can lift your hands up. Hallelujah. No. Hallelujah. Ooh, see, that's how you tell your soul to bless him. Hallelujah. The word in Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities and heals you of all your diseases. Psalm 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Isaiah 61:1 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind. Jesus, in 1 Peter 2:24, Peter remarking the work that Jesus did, said we should die into sin, live into righteousness, and by his stripes we were healed. Guess what that means? That means we were healed. Jesus, after he made the sacrifice, he sealed the covenant, and then he said we were healed. So I want to apply the word of God. Do you? One person, I heard it. Someone over here said it. I want to apply the word. Do you? Hallelujah. When God confirms something, some people I pray for, when they want to be healed, they wait until they feel something change. They wait until they feel better, and they said, well, thankfully, it finally worked. But when we receive, let me ask you a question. You got a headache. If you take a Panadol, how long does it take to work? Have you taken a Panadol recently? No. Okay, that's good. Thank you. Take some Jesus word. But anyway, it takes a while for medicine to work. It has to dissolve in the stomach, go through the system. But when we receive the word of God, we need to add something to it. It's called faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's a noun. We need to get it over into the verb tense. Verse 6 says, for all those who, you know, want to come to God, they must believe that he is the Lord. So if we want to please God, we must believe that he is God. So faith changes its word to believe. Say believe. Believe. So if I want to have active faith, I must believe. So I pray for people, and sometimes I can feel the power of God flow through my hand into their bodies. And they feel better, but something happens. They don't maybe feel like they're really worthy to receive the prayer. And the power flows back out of them and into me. And I say, please, all you need to do is receive. And then we pray again. And when the power comes of God, the Holy Spirit comes through and begins to change and help and heal. And if you will receive, believe and receive, you can have the promise of the Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that it's your divine desire to draw us close to you. Lord, it is your purpose, it is your desire to heal our bodies. Lord, you want to give us hope for the present and hope for the future. My God is a God that breaks all hopelessness and removes it. All heaviness he can remove. His anointing can break the heavy yoke. But I find I must do something. I must ask for prayer, or I need to ask Jesus, oh Lord, set me free. Then I must give him whatever is attacking me and receive from him his stripes, receive from him his goodness, his mercy, his loving kindness, and then believe that the prayers work. So, Father, I pray for our souls tonight. I pray for our hearts tonight. Lord, would you release to us a freedom? The Lord's telling me by his Holy Spirit that there's seven people here and you have a heaviness on your heart. It's like a depression, but it's more than that. It's just a heaviness. It's not a sickness. You just feel hopeless. And God wants you to lay your hopelessness down at the foot of the cross. And Jesus can give you new hope. There are several people that have a pain in the back of their neck, and it goes down the right side of their shoulder and down the right side of their arm. We're going to invite you to come up in a moment at the end of the service, and we want to pray for you. Jesus Christ of Nazareth can heal you. When we receive communion, were we going to receive communion, Christopher? Yes. Even when we receive communion tonight, Jesus can heal you as you receive the elements. There is someone here and you've got a problem with your stomach. It has a lot of, it's like an ulcer is in your stomach. You can't eat everything. There's five other people and you've got a terrible pain in your left side. Two ladies have a lump in your left breast. And these are not guesses, these are words. These are words that Jesus says, I want to set you free. The Bible says, whomever the Son sets free, they're free indeed. If you have any other sicknesses and diseases that you would like for the prayer team to pray for, we'll pray for you. But I want you to give up your sickness and give it to Jesus. Father, we thank you for this word. Put your hands on your heart, everybody, and say, Lord Jesus, I want to be a believer. I'm going to believe that your word is true and your word will have action in my life this week. And as you draw me closer to you, I will find that greater grace and that love that you have for me in Jesus' name. Amen.